I really like to use song titles for messages. And a lot of times I've used things like Beatles songs or something like that, but I love it particularly when I can use a Christian song. And there is a Christian song called Do Something I'll be talking about in just a little bit. It's by a contemporary Christian artist who happens to be one of my favorites. His name is Matthew West. And Matthew West grew up in Illinois as a Cubs fan, and he hoped to be able to play baseball someday, and he was hoping to get a scholarship to college to be able to play baseball, but instead he got a music scholarship. And he began to concentrate on Christian music, where he made a name for himself. And that's an example of how God directs our paths. We may think we want to be a baseball player, but God wants us to be a Christian singer, for example. After a few years of being in Christian music ministry, he injured his left arm, or his right arm, whenever he had to try to break into his own house, and he ended up severing several tendons in his arm, trying to punch through the glass or something like that. But anyway, looked like he would never be able to play guitar again. But he recovered and is still able to do that. And I think that's evidence of God's healing. God's purposes will not be put asunder. If he desires for us to do something, he'll provide a way for us to do it. Well, then Matthew West developed vocal polyps, and he had to go through a two-month period of silence. Not just not singing, but silence. And I just can't imagine. Try to be silent for a whole day sometime. Yeah, I see Hannah shaking her head. None of us. I mean, it would be almost impossible. But he did that, and his voice came back. So one of the things I see in that, two things really, is that God has the power to take our gifts away. So we better not get too comfortable in them. But he also has the power to heal and to bring the voice back. And I see that as an example of grace. And one of Matthew West's favorite songs of mine is Grace Wins Every Time. And I had that as a message title a couple years ago. Well, the title of today's message is a Matthew West song. I want to recite just a portion of the lyrics for you so you can hear what it says. Matthew West sings, I couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven, and I said, God, why don't you do something? And God said, I did. I created you. And every single time I hear that line, hear that song sung, it convicts me. God created me. He created you to do something. And we're supposed to get about the business of doing it. And then this past week, Ramona told me about a devotion that she'd gotten, and she forwarded it to me, and it had this unbelievable title. The title was Stop Praying. And that's kind of shocking to hear somebody say, stop praying. But in a nutshell, what it said was that when someone comes to us and says, we have a need, would you pray for me about that? And we know that we have the means to meet that need. And what the author of the devotion was saying is, instead of praying that God would meet that need through somebody else, do something. Meet that need. If you've been given the blessings that God has allowed you to have so that you might help someone, help someone. 1 John 3:17, which is in my list of favorites, says this, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Today's passage is going to show us, I think, that by helping others, by doing something, we are, in fact, laying up eternal treasure. We're going to look today at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 and verse 24. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then down to verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Seems like I've had a lot of messages recently that came from the Sermon on the Mount, and this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It talks about lots of different things, but here it's talking about our treasure. And the Sermon on the Mount begins in chapter 5 of Matthew with what we call the Beatitudes, the blessed ares, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn, and so on. And I just want to go real quickly through some other things that were spoken about in the Sermon on the Mount from that point up to the point where we read today. Jesus tells us to rejoice when we're persecuted. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'm almost betting that nobody ever rejoices in persecution. But Jesus told us to do that. He tells us that we are the light of the world and not to hide our light under a bushel, not to hide the fact that we know the one true light, which is Jesus. He gives us new definitions of adultery and murder. Not necessarily committing the act, but thinking about it is sinful. We're not supposed to do those things. He tells us not to do our charitable deeds in public. You know, you see sometimes when somebody presents a check to someone and they have this great big oversized check that they're all standing around, and that's okay for a business, but we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to do our charitable deeds to get attention for it. Where he tells us not to pray for show. And I know lots of folks struggle with this about praying aloud in public and different things because they're afraid they won't sound flowery or whatever. Just pray. Just talk to God. Don't make a big show of it. And then he says, if you're fasting, and I know that most people don't fast today for any reason except maybe for medical procedures, but what he says is, when you fast in the name of the Lord, don't go around telling people, oh, I'm fasting today. Don't make a big deal about it. Just do it and communicate with God. And then he tells us in the Lord's Prayer to forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, of course, there's more in the Sermon on the Mount before this, and there's more after that. But this is the backdrop for today's verses. Verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. If you could just peek in and watch me sometime when I'm working on a message. Don't do that. But if you could, you'd see that I have kind of a basic routine. I have Christian music playing in the background on my Pandora, so I never know what it's going to be that comes up. And I know a lot of people think that, you know, you have to have absolute quiet to, in order to be able to study. For me, I need that noise, I guess, and it's a beautiful noise to listen to. But as I was writing or preparing to write a description for this particular verse, I heard a new song on Pandora, and it was entitled The Cure. And I'd never heard it before, so I looked up the lyrics, and here's what it says. You are the cure for the broken, the hope for a hopeless world, the meaning, the purpose, the peace that will make us whole. And I just felt like, once again, God was speaking to me through that song, because we are the cure for the broken, and we are the hope for the hopeless. That's what we're called to be. Then back to the verse, what do you consider to be treasure on this earth? Is it money in the bank? Is it land that you own? Is it vehicles, houses, clothing, all those different things like that? And I know I've really talked about this a lot lately, but God has brought it back to me again for this week, and I want to say this. None of those things are going with you when you die. You're not taking anything with you. Even if you do the clothes on your back as you're being buried or the jewelry on your hands, that's not going with you. It's going in the ground. Nothing that we consider treasure, nothing that we consider worthwhile to work for on this earth is going with us. Absolutely nothing. We're in the process right now of trying to clean up my dad's farm. And I will tell you, it is quite a task. Dad's not been able to do much for a long time, and as a result, everything's grown up in weeds and brush, and there's machinery and different things hidden out in the middle of all of these things. So as we're going through this, I can see very clearly how moth and rust destroy. Things that were once nice and new and well cared for have deteriorated beyond the point of usefulness now. absolutely nothing that you and I spend time on, most of our time on, is going to last. Don't lay up treasures for yourself here on this earth. So what should we do if we're not supposed to lay up treasures? Well, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. We're to lay up treasures in heaven that are eternal. And how do we go about doing that? Well, the scripture that I asked Judith to read this morning tells us at least part of the answer. In Galatians 6:9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Now, another God thing happened as I was typing up the description for that verse. I got a phone call right in the middle of it from somebody that I've heard from many times before, asking for help again. And my first thought was, not you, not again. And I had become weary of doing good. Now, I want you to know, I did refer him to somebody that could help and did what I could. But so many times this has happened to me, and so many times I've shared it with you, where I do grow weary in people who have a handout. But here again, I need to say this to myself, and I say it to you. We cannot make a mistake in doing good. Now, I know we need to have discernment. I know we need to think about this. We had somebody the other day that says, well, if you could just give me some cash so I could get something to eat. And we don't give cash. That's just something we don't do. We give help, but we don't give cash. And so we've got to be discerning. But every once in a while, I'm fairly confident this happens. We provide help for somebody who doesn't need it. We provide help for somebody who doesn't deserve it. And quite honestly, none of us deserve help. We may provide help to somebody who misuses it. Or we may provide gas or a meal to somebody who's got cash in their pocket and now they're free to use that to spend on things that they shouldn't probably be spending on. But I want you to know the accountability is on them for what they do with it. It's not on us. Our accountability is to offer help, to be Christ-like in the way that we do good. And so we can't go wrong in doing good, ever. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We're all going to stand before Christ someday, not to try to convince him of our salvation. He already knows that. But we're going to be confronted instead with, what did you do with your salvation? Did you keep it to yourself? Like a treasure to hoard? Or did you share it? Did you show it? Did you demonstrate it by doing good in my name? Here in Emmanuel Baptist Church, we often put out a call for volunteers. And whether it be for the nursery or for the fair ministry or for VBS workers or for meals for the youth or for people to pick up trash along the highway, and all of this is being done in the name of Jesus and for his sake, what's your response to that? Do you start looking for excuses about why you can't do it? Or do you say, Lord, send me, pick me, choose me to do good for you? And I want to make this is going to be blunt, and I just want you to know, I think it needs to be blunt. If you are a part of this church, whether you're a member or whether you're not, you need to be involved in the work. Just simple as that. And mercy sakes, we have sign-up sheets out there all the time, nearly every week. Not so many this time, but there's still some out there. There are opportunities for service for every single one of us to do something. I need to address this issue also, because I heard somebody talking about this past week. Typically, when Carolyn types up the sign-up sheet, I could take that blank sheet and write names in of people that I'm pretty sure are going to sign up. Because generally, it's often the same people that sign up for the same things. And that's okay. But I'd like to make a suggestion to you if you're one of those faithful servants whose names we know are going to show up on there. Sit back for a while. Give someone else a chance. There may be others who would like to sign up and help with something, but when they get there, everybody's already filled in the blanks. Let somebody else have an opportunity to receive the blessing. Don't get me wrong. We appreciate each and every one of you who do things, who we can count on to know that you're going to do something. But sometimes we need to allow somebody else to get a chance. And quite honestly, if nobody signs up the second week, go for it. Fill in the blanks. But even if you want to do something on those sign-up sheets and you get out there and, well, all the chips are already signed up for, I can't do that, so I'm not going to do anything. No, do something. Find something. Do something. That's what God commands us to do. Remember this, there's going to come a day when we will stand face to face with Jesus. And he's going to ask us, even though he already knows the answer, what did you do in my name? How did you serve me? We need to be prepared to stand before him and face those particular questions. And I want you to know, he's not going to take the excuses that we all come up with. I don't have time. Yeah, you do. I don't have the money. Well, what you got, God gave to you. Let's just think about this. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Stop praying that God would take care of all the needs that need to be done and recognize that he created you and me to do those things. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I ask you today, where is your heart? I have another confession that I want to make to you. My heart is often with my family. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having your family as a priority, but they shouldn't take the place of worshiping our Savior. Jesus said these words in Luke 14:26, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, anyone who does not hate his mother and father, his wife and his children, cannot be my disciple. Now, those are difficult words, and those words shocked me the first time I ever encountered them. It's important to note that there are translations that don't use the word hate. They say things like disregard your family, or in comparison to your love for me, you should hate your family. I know it's very, very hard, but what Jesus is saying here is that he should come first in our lives, even above our families. Now, certainly, Jesus should come before our possessions. And also, Jesus should come before our professions, before our jobs. But our families? God, you can't mean that. I know I've certainly not always lived this, because one night this week, Isaac was pitching in the All-Star Tournament, and I left VBS early to go watch him. And I know that that's not a good example. But I also know that it's important that we support our families. We just have to find the right line, and we have to make sure that family doesn't take the place of worshiping God. But I want to tell you, here's what I've discovered. If Jesus comes first in your life, everything else falls into place. Just quite simply, truly. You think you don't have time to work in the church? Let me challenge you this. Try it. Try devoting some time to working for the church, for Jesus, and just see how amazingly he reorganizes your work schedule so you do have time. You think you don't have money enough to give as God commanded? Another challenge. Try giving the way that he commanded and see how God blesses exceedingly and abundantly above anything you could hope or imagine. We'll never know what we've been empowered to do until we do something. It's not that verses 22 and 23 aren't important. That's a message for another day. But I want to skip to verse 24. Jesus says this. No one can serve two masters. Now that all by itself is absolutely true. You can't serve two masters. And then he goes on to explain. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon is not speaking of words that we don't use a lot here anymore, in the song that we sang earlier, mammon is generally translated as riches or money, treasure, in other words. You can't serve God while you are serving the desire for treasure. The opening statement again says that you can't serve two masters, and if your master is money, you can't serve God. It's not a 50-50 thing. It's you can't serve both of them. You cannot possibly. And the same thing, if it's not money, it applies to whatever your master happens to be. Jesus said you can't love them both. You can't be loyal to them both. And in comparison to the one that you've chosen to serve, you hate and despise the other. And that means if we're not serving God, first and foremost, we might as well stand on a street corner and say, God, I hate and despise you. Now, I know that none of us would ever do that. But do we demonstrate that with our actions? Everything else is more important than God. Nobody sitting in this room would ever actually verbalize that and say that they hate or despise God. But if you're not serving God, you're serving something else. And by extension, you're saying, God, you don't matter. I don't want anybody to get the idea that serving is the be-all, end-all, that just by doing something we're going to establish a relationship with God and live happily ever after in eternity. The relationship has to be established already. We have to have a relationship with God by accepting his free gift of salvation, of forgiveness, of acknowledging that we are sinners in need of salvation. But once we've done that, folks, we need to do something. We need to follow him. And that means if we follow him, we'll do the things that he did. He served. We are going to be blessed in the next few weeks with several baptisms, and I pray there's even more than we know even right now. But that's one of the things that we do to demonstrate that we're going to follow Jesus. Salvation doesn't come through the baptismal waters. Salvation comes by a heart change. And this is just an outward symbol. And it shows that we are prepared to follow him. But that better not be the last time that we follow him. Jesus demonstrated service in so many different ways. But one of the ones that he did right before he went to the crucifixion was that he washed his disciples' feet. A demeaning, humiliating task that even the lowest servant couldn't like doing. Nobody would like washing someone else's feet. But he did it out of service and to set an example for us. We are called to serve, just like Jesus did. This passage asks us to consider, where is your treasure? Whatever your treasure is, your heart is sure to be there as well. It also asks us to consider whom we are serving. Are we serving God? Are we serving materialism and money and riches and prestige and power? We can lay up eternal treasures in heaven by being obedient, by doing something. You can't get salvation by doing something. Christ has already done the salvation part. He's already done the work. We have to accept that, and then we need to get busy. And I say it again. There's no one here in this room today who shouldn't be doing something. All of us are called to work, to follow Jesus and his example. My prayer is today that if there's anybody here who has been laying back and saying, I'll let somebody else do it, that you decide to jump in, feet first. Be ready to serve. If there's anybody here today who's never accepted that free gift of salvation, all the service in the world won't make any difference. You can bring food for the youth. You can clean up the highway. You can do all of those things. But if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're not gaining anything. So my prayer today is that we choose to follow Christ and do something.